I guess when you're a preacher or a meeting leader, there come times when you realise you don't want to take away from what God's doing. You like to add to it, but what you don't want to do is take away. And really this morning, I don't want to take away from what God's already said. There's been some positioning about how we go from here, from Nestor. People need to put things down and walk away and leave them. Jeff has just given us a positioning thing. You've been stretched, stay stretched. Don't shrink back into what you were before. God's doing this for something, okay? But move on. The real message for this morning though came from Amber.
Yeah.
And I would just like you to actually note it and go, that was the message.
Yeah.
If there was something that I think God was bringing us to for this morning, it was that.
Yeah.
And it's like, so I don't want to lose that, if you know what I mean. I don't want to take away by going off and trying to do things. And there isn't much time either, which is probably a good thing. So in a few minutes, we're going to be breaking bread together. And I think that's a wonderful way to seal what God's done in our lives individually. But I believe God's doing things on weekends like this, particularly this weekend. He's doing things collectively as well.
Yeah.
Joining you guys together in new ways.
Yeah.
And there is a sense of togetherness that you've come out of a weekend with that you didn't have quite as much at the beginning, and God's moving you forward collectively. I just think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Nestor, I want to say thank you for having us and for just getting to know some of you. But the privilege of it, I want to commend you, if I can do that without it sounding cheeky, you know. But I want to commend you. Actually, the way that you've participated in this weekend, I think it's actually really commendable. All of you. There's some of you who are new Christians. Some of you are old Christians.
Older.
Some of you are very old. Remember that it's a journey, you know, and there's some people down here. So the first night was... Oh, no, let me just finish what I was going to say. I just want to commend you for giving yourselves into it. And for participating. To me, it's an experience like just in worship, like we've had now and last night. You have participated in worship, given yourselves. Those of you that were involved in the seminars, you've participated and given yourselves. I want you to see yourself, give yourself to be participators in the body of Christ. See, if you're just an observer, you'll always feel like you're somehow just looking in. God wants everybody to be participators. Absolutely involved in it. On Friday night, the first thing I did was change the title from Moving On to Moving Forward. By the way, it's not a sin to say Moving On, just so you know. I keep slipping back. And it's okay, because Moving On, as long as we mean the same thing. But I want to just emphasise, it's about moving forwards. We talked about this journey. And there are people right back here at the beginning of their journey. I want to say to you guys, I want to say to you, take baby steps. You say, what do I do next? Take baby steps. If you're a young, enjoy being that. Okay? It's about learning and just receiving from God. It's sort of a, like babies are mostly in the place where they get, if not they receive. You know? So enjoy the moment where you're just learning and receiving. And whatever God is saying to you, it will always be costly. I have to say that, because God actually works with us with sacrifice. It'll be costly, it will also be joyful. It's a joyful journey, okay? But I would just say to you guys, who are kind of new on the journey, take baby steps. Just do what the next thing that God's saying to you to do. Just do that. And make it a life of obedience. Some of the people I've known who've made the biggest impression on my life in recent years are people who've become Christians and have just understood that it's actually about being a follower of Jesus. It's about a life of obedience. But he's doing what he says. And the more you do what he says, the more your life comes together. Okay? So for you, Abeda, so further, some of us that are further up the road here, and we've got to, and it's like God was saying, as Paul was saying, look, forget what's gone before, just make sure there's desire to move forward. And almost every scripture that we've had and every... It's about the hope that's set before us.
Yeah.
You know, if ever I could have a song that summed up everything that we've been talking about just now, we've just sort of sung it. You know, and so here we are. We're going like, actually, we want to be straining forwards. And last night particularly we're dealing with things and obstacles that would restrict us or hold us back. Praise God. You know, dealt with. There's nothing that's too hard for God. Mm-hmm. Nothing that we can't sort of deal with in order that we can move forward. Today, if you like, is about, let's seal this by saying we are determining to be people who make a difference. That's what we're here for. And right from the word go, when Abraham was the beginning of his journey, God says, I'm going to bless you. You're like, thank you.
We're going to be blessed.
No, I'm going to bless you, so what?
Blessing.
So that you can be a blessing. At every single point, when God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit, in the beginning of Acts, he says to his disciples, who are all going, what's happening next, what's happening next? Jesus says, I'm about to go. For your good I'm going. He said, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost end of the world. Apparently the key word in that little phrase there is and. The Holy Spirit comes and you will be my witnesses. Okay. And the further up, here we go, the more it's about we begin to be more and more givers, not just getters. We begin to be those who are there for others, not just for ourselves. And so, when Amber starts to read out, this is what Jesus is, this is what I came for, and this is what you're here for, is that you begin to be the ones that say, this is what we've got. We've got a message that says the captives can be set free. The blind can see, the lame can be healed, but the ones who are broken, the marginalised people, they can be touched by something of the compassion of God's heart that is expressed and shown through us. The light of God is expressed through us. We all know that Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. But he actually goes on. He says, you are the light of the world. And this is where I'm going. So let me just see if I can do this in 2 minutes. I want to read these verses to you from Ephesians. I could have gone to a million verses to read. But I'm just going to read these from Ephesians chapter 5. And it's about us, I believe, living life as we are called to do, as light in darkness. I'll start quickly because I've got the time. It's chapter 5, and I'm going to begin at verse 9. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Mm-hmm. Should we just say that together? Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, Christ will shine upon you. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine. I'd just like to make that particularly clear to this church, if that's all right. To point out a few empty bottles around, you know, but just a little point I'm making, that's right, just what the scripture says, I'm only reading it. Okay. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Mm-hmm. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart in the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I've got three tips, if you like, for us, rather than anything else, just trying to sum up what God's been doing over the weekend and how we go from here. Because I think God's calling us to be a people that aren't just different, but are called to make a difference. And so we are called to be. So here's three tips. Number one, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. In our story of Peter, if you were following that, you know, Peter goes from this fairly kind of cocky guy to broken man to restored to being filled with the Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, he is filled with the Spirit. I remember the day I was filled with the Spirit. It was 1973. Anybody alive in 1973?
Just
alive. So, depressing. I was 3 at the time, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. That era? 1973. So, and I will never forget it. It was an incredible experience. I was in Dave and Chris Rich, as I mentioned there, in their living room. I was a bit of a rebel. I know you won't be able to believe that, but I was a bit of a rebel in my day. In my day. And everybody else was getting filled with the Spirit, and I thought, I don't know what that is. I'm not sure I like it. It's a bit weird. They're all going that way. I'm going this way. There's something in me that's always been a little bit kind of countercultural like that. Anyway, somehow God got me by the collar, and somehow I found myself saying to Dave and Chris Richards, just pray for me to be filled with the Spirit. So in their living room, I was prayed for. Never forget it. It felt like a glass of water that was just going, just being filled and filled and filled and filled, overflowing. And I didn't even try speaking to them. I just began to flow straight away. Actually, I experienced, and I felt, a sound of rushing wind as well. Not sure Dave and Chris heard that. I know that I did. Nobody's taking that away from me. Point is this. I've got my experience from 40-something years ago. Was it actually 43? 43 years ago. Today, I need to be filled with the Spirit. Today, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is fresh every day.
Yes.
We need to be filled with the Spirit. Tip number one. Let's be filled with the Spirit. It's not our light that shines. It's His light that shines in us. Let's be filled with it. Let's be a people of the Spirit. Let's not be a people that once knew the Spirit but don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
My first tip is let's be filled with the Spirit and let our light shine by the life we live. Because actually, if we're filled with the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit that we've been exploring and some of us, you know, getting stretched in, they're going to come.
Yeah.
The fruit of the Spirit is going to come. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. You know, righteousness. All those things, we have to try harder at those. The Spirit of God works those in us and through us. And that's how we live our life, when we live our life in that way. My first one is to be filled with the Spirit. My second tip is to live in the centre of God's will. Live in the middle. Mm. Now, why do I say that? Because I think it's possible to live at the edge. Mm. I'm imagining this now as a... Let's move away from roads and journeys and mountains and things. Let's move to a river for a second, okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think what God wants, if you want to be fruitful, if you want to be the person that's fulfilling order, then live in the middle. And it's possible to kind of stay at the edge and so on. There's a game which was around long before Nintendo's or Wii's, and it's called Poo Sticks. Anybody know what poo sticks is? Certain age put their hands up at that point, but poo sticks?
Yeah.
Okay, alright. So, of all crazy things, I'm preaching in Japan and decide to, somehow I go off on one and start to say, we have this game called poo sticks. It doesn't translate well anyway. As I begin to describe it, they're going, you English, you know. If you don't know what poo sticks are, basically you have a, you and whoever you're competing against stands on one side of a bridge, drop your sticks in, and you run to the other side and you see who's come out first and who wins. It's a hugely complicated game, takes a lot of strategy working out. Yes. The interesting thing is I love playing it with my grandchildren. Basically I say, right, I'm going to go here, you go there, and we'll see who wins. The old competitive thing's still there. When they start beating me, we stop playing. That's the way it works. Okay, and I go, okay, so we drop them in, and Grandad runs across. Oh, he wins again. Why? Why did I win? Somebody tell me, why did I win?
Because I cheated.
That's not right. I'm in the middle, because the river flows strongest. it flows best in the middle. All the pictures which are very important in the Bible of rivers and so on, they begin at the beginning of the Bible. Ezekiel's picture, so they tell you that it's possible to live in the river but be in the edges. I'm saying live in the centre of it. Just live in the centre of it. What I mean by that is, what is your that? Talked about Friday night. I want to take hold of that for which God took hold of me. And some of you are going to go, I think I know what my that is. Some of you say, I'm not sure what that is. And some of you say, I haven't got a clue. That's what I want to say to you. Way back, go like, just do next step. Just do next step. If you're kind of exploring, have a go at numbers of things and see what God anoints. Mm-hmm. And to those of you that you know that you know, I should be doing this. Get in the centre of the river. Get in the middle. Give yourself wholeheartedly to it. Because we don't want to just be on this journey where we're kind of like pottering along or stumbling along to the next thing. We actually want to be swept along, if you like. Does that make sense? Is that okay? Yeah. That's my second tip. Get in the middle of the river. Get right in. That means wholehearted commitment. That means give yourself. And then the final thing is, and I want to just show you a little video clip. It's only a minute or two. Thank you, Mark. That's my clue to you. Because whatever your gifting, whatever your ministry, I think God wants you to be an investor in people. He wants you to invest in people, in others.
Hold on,
wait for it. Build up by the anticipation, I thought. All different sort of ways, all different categories, but I believe God's called us to be that message that Amber was preaching this morning and declaring and reading out, is that that's why we're here, is so that we touch other people's lives with the goodness and the glory of God. So I want to finish with this, because it's just the story of a man who made an impression on me. Kids just about to come back. Quick.
No, they're not.
Let's see if anybody knows the name. His name is Nicholas Winton. Does that mean anything to anyone? Winton. Okay, alright, that's good. I'll just explain who Nicholas Winton was. He died about 2 months ago, and he made national news again, because he is Sir Nicholas Winton, and he's a hero in all kinds of ways. Let me just say the story briefly. He died aged 105. Right? Now, the story goes like this. He was a young man just before the Second World War, and he heard that the war was about to break out. And he was on holiday or something like that in Switzerland. He heard of the plight of families that were in, I think, Czechoslovakia at the time. And they'd been taken out of Germany, and they were heading towards whatever was disastrous. And he just felt compelled somehow to go and to do something to make a difference. So what he did was he just went there, and he realised that there was parents there, and they were saying, can you get my children to England? And he realised if he could get them to England, he'd save them. So he organised. He paid with his own money. He organised for children to get by certain routes, trains and so on, back to England. And he organised for people in England to be able to absorb them, take them into their families, adopt them and so on. He had time, had a window of time, and he saved 661 children. Just because he wanted to make a difference. Now, it's a remarkable story. And one of the most amazing things about it, though, is he actually never told anybody. So later on in life, he got married. Never told his wife. He actually went on doing a lot of good. He got an OBE for some other things that he did. And so he's quite a kind of noted sort of chap. One day in 1987, something like that, his wife went up to the attic, found a box, and opened it, and suddenly found stuff, if you like, lists and things. They call him the English Schindler. Right? And they pulled out, and she began to find what he'd done. She never knew. And basically what she did was she set up for him to go to the Esther Ransom show. And just so that his story could begin to come out about what he'd done. And what I think is so captivating about this guy was that he was just an ordinary guy who just said, I think I can make a difference here. It's just the situation and circumstance he was in, I can make a difference. And he did make a difference. Anyway, this little clip is just the Esther Ranson show. It's a bit of a tearjerker, I think. But I just wanted to leave us with this because it feels to me like I want us to capture something about being a people that make a difference. Now I'm going to pray. Okay. Big build up, wasn't it?
This is Vera Dilmatsch, now Vera Gissing. We did find her name on his list. Vera Gissing is with us here tonight. Hello, Vera. And I should tell you that you are actually sitting next to Nicholas Winton.
And it was just so wonderful, so terribly, terribly touching.
Every time. just, I don't know if you know, but they worked out there are 3,500 people alive today because of Nicholas Winton. It just came from those families. And I just believe, I just want to pray about it, if you like, that God would call us to have hearts of compassion to want to make a difference. We don't just go from here saying we've had a good time, we've been at the church. God will make us change agents in the world. Is that right to pray?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Lord, just again we want to come to you. We want to say thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you that a life was laid down.
Yeah.
That we might have life. And Lord, today we want to be people who are followers after you. Lord, that will not stand still, but will look to move forward. And Lord, I pray that we may be a people that make a difference. That this world which is broken, this world which is so in such disarray, Lord, that we would be people who would bring hope and life. And freedom. Lord, that where we would bring peace and joy. Lord, because it's not just about us somehow going to heaven. But Lord, it's about heaven coming to earth. And we pray, Lord, that we might be your people in this day. And that we may be captured afresh on our journey, on our race, to run the race fully and to burst that tape, Lord. May we be people who will make a difference. Yeah. Your kingdom, sir. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
okay, we're going to break bread together. We are the body of Christ. If you read Paul's description of the body of Christ, no part is better than another. We're all significant people. So we're going to have the bread here. I want you to come up and take the bread. I want you to minister to one another, the body minister to one another. And pray, blessing.
Yes, Lord.
To one another, strength into one another, that we might make a difference. That we might be filled with the Spirit. You could even ask for something to be prayed for if you like. Mm. That's allowed as well. Mm. Bless one another.
Amen.
God, strengthen us as we do this.
Yeah.
Build your church. Mm. Yes. Jesus said, take the bread, take the wine, and do it in remembrance of me. As we do it, we're remembering Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection.
Mm. Yes, Lord.
Our living Saviour. Thank you, Jesus.